My name's Ron. I'm a grateful believer and I'm an alcoholic. Hey, everybody. I don't know why, for some reason tonight, I feel like I need to revert back to a little prayer I used to say. I haven't said it for a while. It goes something like this. Help! Thank you. Okay, tonight we're on Lesson 10, which is Spiritual Inventory, Part 1. I can't do this without the glasses. So this is 2 weeks ago, we had a good teaching by Jim there on the basics. There's a few lessons on the inventory. We got the basics of doing a fourth step, a searching and fearless moral inventory, which is what this is. So I'm just going to run through briefly, kind of a little review before getting into the lesson for tonight. Number one, this is a very important step, as you might guess, because there's so many teachings on it and whatnot. So it's a step that's very key, very important to your recovery, and so I highly suggest you take it seriously and do the best you can with it and build a good base for your recovery, and this is a good way to do it. We also promoted a little earlier getting a sponsor and accountability partner to do this, which I believe is key. A sponsor, especially who's someone who's been through it, done it, has the experience of it, because there'll be questions, there might be some misunderstandings, there might be who knows what. So a sponsor will keep you on time. Some people can take too long, some people don't take enough time. It's kind of a balance. It's not a quick 2-hour kind of thing. It can be, but I think it's a lot better if you take some time with it and think about it We'll be going through quite a few questions tonight, basically, for the lesson tonight. There's also step studies that we have here. There'll be a couple coming up, one for men, one for women shortly. I highly promote you take this step through the step study. That's what it's designed for, and I think they're great. You work through the 12 steps and the 8 principles with a bunch of other guys or girls, and it's a great thing. They also in that have the step study guides. There's 4 of them. This is a participant guide, they call it, 4 booklets. This booklet, if nothing else, participants guide number two has all of the lessons on the inventory in it. And so it'll have all the questions and things that we're going to go through tonight. There's too much to kind of take notes on or remember. So it's all in this book. So they're back at the table. And when you're doing that, it's just a good review. You just go through this and to help you jog your mind and whatnot of things you need to be looking at. Writing. This is a writing exercise, so it's best done writing. There's something about getting this down on paper, getting your sins and I guess your character defects and whatnot, so you can look at them. It's just something that was not just out here somewhere thinking about it and it's kind of mysteriously floating around. But get it down. Something about getting it down in black and white on paper. And then the timetable that I said earlier, it's just important to sort of get a set a time and set some times to go someplace and work on it and have some quiet time. And it's a big deal. It takes some time and it takes working at it. So tonight, let's go ahead and read Principle 4. We'll get going with the lesson for tonight then, Spiritual Inventory Part 1. Principle 4 is... openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. You can follow along if you'd like. And then step four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. So really this is about step four. I think step four just keys in on made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And I think that, so that, that's the key. So tonight we begin the first of two lessons in which we will look at our spiritual inventory using this spiritual evaluation or spiritual guide, if you will. Most of us don't like to look within ourselves for the same reason we don't like to open a letter that we know has bad news. And that's true. This can be tough stuff. So remember, though, pain is the touchstone of growth. We've got to get, you know, what's pain for? I mean, pain so we know there's a problem and we fix it. That was my problem through life. I just anesthetized everything with booze. I didn't want to feel any of the pain. I just want to have a good time, and so I didn't grow up. I was a 13-year-old, 35-year-old, because I never learned the lessons of life. Most people, you get hurt and you get bruised and you learn through it and you grow up a little bit, and so some of us just had a hard time getting there. I'm now probably in my 40s, I think, something like that, maybe. 23. We can't fix it if we don't know what we're fixing or what's wrong. So that's why we look at this stuff. We dig down, write it down, so we can look at it, and then we got something to work on. Let's look at what a spiritual inventory or evaluation is all about. Psalms 139, 23 to 24 tells us, God's word tells us, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Point out anything you find in me that makes you sad, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So we're looking, basically, point out anything you find in me that makes you sad. So that's your sins, character defects, guilt, shames. There's a saying you'll hear in recovery, you're only as sick as your secrets. And I think that's so true. The stuff that we keep bound down in us, it's never going to see the light of day. That's the stuff that needs to come out. Sherry actually found this passage, which I think it's not in the lesson, but I just thought it sort of related. It's John 3, 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So we want truth, and we want to come to the light. We want to shine light on those things in us that we want to get rid of, that are not good. We want to clean out, basically. So that's what we're doing. Let's put some light in our hearts. No doubt each one has good qualities and bad. Tonight we're going to look at some of the bad, some of our character shortcomings and sins that can block us from receiving all the joy that God has intended. We will work on four areas of our character tonight and four more next session, 2 weeks down the road. There's eight altogether in this lesson. This exercise will help you get started on your inventory as you search your heart. Number one is relationship with others. Matthew 6, 12, 13 says, Jesus, tell us to pray. Forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Don't bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Ask yourself the following questions regarding your relationships with others. Number one, who has hurt you? Is a good one. And again, these are things, you might not have all of these, but these are suggestions you'll look at to think about and ponder. And these the great thing about all these is this is what gets to our heart, what we're all about, by looking at who has hurt you, against whom have you been holding a grudge? That's a great one. You know, who are you holding the grudge? What is the grudge? Why? And just get into it. Writing the grudge down on your inventory list is the first step in getting rid of it. It doesn't take a doctor to tell you that it's better to remove a grudge than to nurse it. No matter how long you nurse a grudge, it won't get better. 3, against whom are you still seeking revenge? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. That's God's business, is revenge. But we all do that. We all go there. And I want to read something else here, too. I wasn't going to, but I love this. This is Romans 12, 19 and 21. Let's see. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, you know, vengeance, this stuff just carries more stuff with it than we think. And it's in the Word. So vengeance is God's business, and He'll take care of it. We need to forgive, move on, and it reaps all kinds of rewards to do so. Are you jealous of someone? It's another great one. In Song of Songs 8:6, jealousy is said to be as unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire. The people that you name in these areas you just mentioned will go in column 1 of your Celebrate Recovery Principle 4 worksheet in participant guides number 2. So that's what you'll get into. There's a list of 5 items. I'm not going to get into all that tonight. We covered it a couple weeks ago, but that's in the participant's guide. You'll kind of, that'll help guide you to looking at this stuff and getting the meanings. Moves on here now, 5, who have you hurt? How did you hurt them? You may have hurt them unintentionally. Maybe it was intentional. Who have you been critical of or gossiped about? It isn't that difficult to make a mountain out of a molehill. Just add a little dirt on it. That's what gossip is, just a little dirt. I find it amazing that a tongue 4 inches long can destroy a man 6 feet tall. That's why James 1:26 tells us to keep a tight rein on our tongue. Tongues. 7, have you tried to justify your bad attitude by saying it's their fault? So a lot of us, myself included, is the blame game. That seems to be a popular thing in this United States. It's, you know, it's blame somebody else for everything. It's everybody else's fault. I found that when I'm searching for someone to blame, it's better for me to look in the mirror rather than through the binoculars. Hosea 4:4 tells us, don't point your finger at somebody else and try to pass the blame. The people that you name in these areas will go in column 5 of your Celebrate Recovery worksheet. Also, the thing I like, if you're pointing your finger at somebody else, there's 3 more pointing back at you. So I like that little example. So the second of the 4 items tonight, priorities in your life. We look at the priorities. We do what is important to us. Others see our priorities by our actions, not our words. Personally, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. What are the priorities in your life? Matthew 6:3-3 tells us what will happen if we make God our number one priority. He will give to you if you give Him first place in your life and live as He wants you to. And I like the King James, New King James Version better. I like, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. So, I don't just... makes more sense to me, reads a little better, but But I think about that a lot. I try to do that. I try to seek God's will and all the things that we do around here. And you take care of God's business, and He'll take care of your business. Really, this should say around here, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and He'll remove my alcoholism and things. After making the decision to turn your life and your will over to God, in what areas of your life are you still not putting God first? What closet are you not letting Him enter and clean out? Sometimes, for whatever reason, we seem to hang on to our favorite sin, or whatever. We just can't quite let go. And this is a total come clean deal. But sometimes it can take a while, too. What in your past is interfering with your doing God's will? And that reads good on its own. It says a couple things here, but just thinking about your past and things in the past. One here says your ambition. Is it driven by serving God, or is it driven by envy? Your pleasures. If your pleasure has been found in the world, Proverbs 21:17 warns, he who loves pleasure will become poor. Is your pleasure now found in Jesus Christ? Psalms 16:11 tells us, you will teach me how to live a holy life. Being with you will fill me with joy. At your right hand, I will find pleasure forever. 3. What have been your priorities in your job, friendships, personal goals? Were they just self-centered, self-serving? Selfishness turns life into burden. Unselfishness turns burdens into life. I think most of us, myself included, self is a tough one. I mean, we care about ourselves as we should, but it gets carried to the extreme. Self-centeredness, ego, pride. 4, who did your priorities affect? You will never get so rich that you can afford to lose a true friend. 5, what was good about your priorities? 6, what was wrong about them? The next area of your spiritual inventory is to examine your attitude. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. 1, do you always try to have an attitude of gratitude? Or do you find yourself always complaining about your circumstances? I fight that one for some reason. 2, in what areas of your life are you ungrateful? If we can't be grateful for the bad things in our lives that we have received, we can at least be thankful for what we have escaped. And in my life, I have to be thankful for the drunken driving tickets I didn't get, the overnight jails I didn't have to go to, the further loss of a lot of money through gambling, on and on and on. That all stopped when I started succeeding at my recovery. And I thank God for that. Sometimes things seem kind of boring and, where's the excitement and whatnot. My sponsor tells me that's serenity, but, so I want some action, So... He said, just sit back and enjoy it, So he said, as soon as I get a little serenity, I start putting my hand in the pot and start stirring it up. But all that stuff I don't have, and I am so grateful for that. Let's see. And the one thing we can all be grateful for is found in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 3, have you gotten angry and easily blown up at people? Have you been sarcastic? Do you know that sarcasm can be a form of verbal abuse? a lot of us sort of hide behind sarcasm. I never really thought about sarcasm until I took the step study and kind of went through this and realized how much of that I did and didn't even realize it. So that's what's good about these things here. It kind of opens your eyes to stuff that you kind of take for granted. What in your past is still causing you fear and anxiety? That's a huge one. When you fear things, have anxiety, try to settle in and see what's causing it. As we have said before, your fear imprisons you. Your faith liberates you. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Faith in Jesus Christ will allow you to face your past fears. And with faith, you can be free of fear's chains. All of the bondages that we have around here, and we can be free. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." The last area we're going to go to tonight is your integrity. Your integrity. Colossians 3:9 tells us, "Do not lie to each other. You have left your old sinful life and the things you did before." One, in what past dealing were you dishonest? Big one. An honest man alters his ideas to fit the truth. A dishonest man alters the truth to fit his ideas. Have you stolen things? Have you exaggerated to make yourself look better? Did you know there are no degrees of honest? Either you are or you aren't. In what areas of your past have you used false humility? Did you know that humility is never gained by seeking it? To think we have it is sure proof that we don't have it. Five, have you lived one way in front of your Christian friends and another way at home or at work? So, guilty. Are you a Sunday Christian or a seven-day full-time follower of Jesus Christ? Do you try to practice the 8 principles 7 days a week or just here at Celebrate Recovery on Wednesday nights? So that's the list that they have, the 4 for tonight. There'll be 4 more in a couple, four more areas in a couple weeks. It's a lot of stuff, a lot of ideas. Again, that's why I promote, if nothing else, get this book, and it's all in there for you to review and go over and work with. Remember that we're searching our hearts for what makes God sad. I think that's a good way to look at these things. You know, there's sins, our character defects, these are the things where we feel guilt and shame. Sometimes, too, I think you're certainly welcome to think outside of this box and just go to, what are you guilty about? What do you have shame about? Think through your life. What are you going to, I love this, I heard this in a meeting the other day. What are the 2 or 3 things you're going to take to the grave and never tell anybody that you've done? And I don't know, you know, there's some things like that write that down, you know, it's hard. There's just some things that we've nicely packed away. I got a nice layer of mud over it. I don't want to look at it, think about it. It's long ago, but that stuff is there. If we can weed that out and get rid of it, it's so freeing. So what are we going to take to the grave? That's one. What things have we just know are not right, are immoral, as this is, a moral inventory. What's right and wrong? A lot of sexual things and whatnot, most of us in our past. Shine the light in. Let it, look at these things. Very important. Very important to be rid of these things. This is a big key in getting rid of the reason you came here. Whatever you came here fighting, we're in bondage to, these are the things. Your step 4 is huge in these steps to freeing us up getting rid of that, getting rid of why we came here. Gain freedom, lose bondage. So that's it for tonight. Like I say, a couple weeks from now, there'll be the second part of this with another. As you start to work on your spiritual inventory, remember something too, I forgot. The word, this is called spiritual inventory. 2 weeks ago, it was just an inventory. So I got upgraded for some reason, I'm not sure. But don't let that scare you off. I mean, it's all spiritual inventory, I guess, if you will. It's all the, so maybe that's just to add a little pizzazz to it. So, but that's not some big, you know, secret thing or whatever. As you start to work on your spiritual inventory, remember two things. First, in Isaiah 1:18, God says, no matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Second, I can't say it enough, keep your inventory balanced. List the positive new relationships that you have, the areas of your life that you have been able to turn over to God, how your attitude has improved since you have been in recovery, the ways you have been able to step out of your denial and into God's truth. So look at the positive. Look at where you've had this stuff can kind of keep, you know, piling on and getting kind of heavy. So it's good to take a little reality check there also. Let's close in prayer, if you will. Father God, thank you for each person here tonight. Thank you for giving them the courage to begin this difficult step of making an inventory. Give them the desire and strength they need to proceed. Encourage them and light their way with your truth. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you very much.